And welcome to your podcast. I'm Mike Dell, and today I want to welcome my special guest host, John Hankins, from our support team. Did I pronounce that right?
You got it right. Thanks for having me on, Mike. How you doing?
Very good, very good. But yeah, John joined us, about 6 months ago, something like that, maybe a little less?
Yeah, it feels like maybe five. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. Well, I met John out at NAB last year, right. and then we had another opening pop up, and so John's now part of our support team. So if you send in a support ticket on the weekend or evenings or even sometimes during the day, you know, just depends on what's going on, you might hear from John. So let's see. Oh, by the way, today, this episode is not just your podcast, but it's also the PowerPress podcast for this week. So Mackenzie's on her way out to PodCon along with Aaron from our support team, if the airplanes and the weather cooperate. So I said, well, why don't we do a joint episode? See, John, you get to get on both podcasts simultaneously.
So I get double time for this?
Yeah, you get double time for this. You know, just put it in with the HR there. They'll take care of you. All right. So in the news, just got a couple little items. Google Podcast, which is the app on Android that's on pretty much all Android devices now, and I still say is going to take over the world, is now available on Android Auto. According to The Verge there, on the next update you get, you should be able to bring up Google Podcasts on Android Auto. I don't know, have you ever messed with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay?
You know, I haven't. I don't have a, you know, cool enough car to have that in-dash experience yet. I guess my question is, you know, is Google Podcast, you know, still working enough for this to work on Android Auto? They're going to have bugs, et cetera. I just listen with my phone if I need to and just go through the Bluetooth. But if it gives you an option, then, you know, that's great. I'm just wondering, is everybody, you know, have this ability to do it in their vehicle?
Yeah, a lot of the newer cars have it. I know Ford Sync, it's part of Ford Sync 3, so most Ford vehicles have it. I think a lot of the Korean cars do, Kias and what's the other one, Hyundai or whatever. But a lot of the outfits there, if it has Apple CarPlay, it also has Android Auto, it seems. And I get to rent a car once in a while, and that's where I had only have ever run into it. I drive beaters, so can't afford to buy a shiny car up here and have it rust away. So I might as well just buy them rusty and keep replacing them. But anyway, but yeah, I look forward to checking that out next time I'm in a rental car. I'll plug my Android device in and check it out. And those of you guys that watch Sunday morning CBS, where they have that big news program on Sunday mornings. One of the contributors to that's Mo Rocca, and he has a new podcast called Mobituaries, which I think is kind of an interesting
odd title.
Yeah, well, you know, the types of stories that he does, it sort of makes sense. And but anyway, the new season, or the only season so far, he's just got a trailer up there right now, but if you want to go check it out, it's at obituaries.com. It's always fun to see people from television or other traditional media get into podcasting. A lot of times they do it through, you know, production companies or whatnot. This guy looks like he's doing it a lot on his own. He's using Megaphone, but other than that, I don't believe he's got a big production company behind him on this one.
Yeah, I'll have to check him out and see, you know, how he sounds in terms of, is it just kind of laid back? Is it, as you're saying, you know, kind of done, you know, like on an NPR type level, or just, you know, just kind of winging it, so to speak?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, yeah, his TV stories are always well put together, but I wouldn't call them overproduced. You know, he seems like a pretty laid-back dude, and that'll be cool. I don't know if you ever, sort of related, NBC's Sunday morning show there, was it Willie Geist, also does the you know, he does always does a celebrity interview, you know, where he goes somewhere with a celebrity and they do a interview and then they cut it all up for television, but he also does the uncut version of it for podcasting. So that's pretty interesting. Okay. So I'm imagining this will be similar.
And now that football season's over for me, then I'll have to start checking it out because my Sundays were always occupied with football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And, you're on a later time zone, so right. Football's already going at that time of the morning.
Right.
You know, here it's, 7 o'clock my time, still in the middle of the night your time. So, but anyway, that's all there is to it there. So the main topics, and I just wanted to see if you wanted to, tell people about you, get to know the team a little bit.
So I've been podcasting. This will be my fourth year. I do several. I got into the bad misfortune of doing multiple podcasts. And
yeah, everybody wants to do a network.
I call that a network, but it's not your true network in terms of what you might think. We don't have other people that podcast. I've got some people I work with in terms of the host. They're actually going to start doing some of their own, but I like to call this as kind of like a buffet of all the things in my mind. There's various topics, everything from sports to current events. Sports is kind of the big thing. I do one for the Golden Knights, Chicago Bears. Lately had some personal things kind of happen where I've just been focusing on one now until I kind of, get back into the groove, so to speak. But just a little independent podcaster that has fun. I don't do this for money or notoriety. Just enjoy the hobby and the passion of it.
Right. Well, you can go ahead and tell people where they can find those if they want.
The easiest way is just go to the website, podwabbit.com, PODWABBIT. It's got category podcast listing. Just put up a brand new site, maybe last year, just new format to make it a little easier. And you can just kind of browse around and take a look. But like I said, a lot of the things haven't been, up to date. The most recent one actually is CES. Renamed one to called Diggable Tech. It used to be called Tech Your Game Up, and I go out to CES every year. I'm in the process of actually trying to put together a couple podcasts that focus on some folks that I saw at Eureka Park. If you're familiar with the layout there, and saw some cool tech and some things like that. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll get some of those. But basically I just kind of gave a recap of my what I saw again, just myself. Didn't have a crew or anything out there, but really enjoyed doing that. So Diggable Tech is the one that covers CES for this year, 2019.
Yeah, that Eureka Park. That's over at the Sands usually there, and mm-hmm. I think that's where Todd's been setting up the last couple of years. Our boss does CES coverage through Tech Podcast Network. And it's an interesting place. That's where all the startups are. So they're all hungry for publicity and they're happy to talk to you.
They're really cool because when you go to the North Hall or places like that, Sony and those big guys, they don't need to talk to you. They're spending tons of money in advertising. But you're right, Eureka Park, people actually, when they see you walk by, especially if you're part of the media, they'll jump out and talk to you. So those are the ones, the people that are visionaries trying to, make things happen and are aggressive and get the word out. So that's a cool experience just to see that versus the North Hall.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember the first time I went, North Hall, South Hall, Central Hall, all that, they still had some of the startups and the guy that maxed out his credit card to buy a 10x5 and, and they wanted to talk to you. And now you get anywhere near, even though some of those same people that have made it big, and I won't mention any names, but there's one in particular that used to, bust down our door to talk to us. Now won't have anything to do with us and has, publicity people and all this. And it's like, well, dude, we helped you get there, but oh well.
Right.
It is what it is.
Right.
But, I remember CES, just not that long ago, maybe what, 5, 6, 7 years ago, a lot of those startups were around the edges of the main halls, but they've kind of shoot them out of there.
Well, things are changing because next year, if they are on track, the Las Vegas Convention Center is going to expand. The Riviera got demolished, and they're going to actually, you know, expand out that way. And there's talk that the Sands, where the where that used to be, is going to now move to the new location. So if you ever decide to come out, make sure you invest in some really good walking shoes, because you're going to need it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every time I go to any of those things, we go to NAB every year. And every time I go to that, you know, even if we're doing a booth, I still end up putting on, you know, 8-10 miles a day at least, you know, and that's just, you know, and last year, I think we stayed at, stayed on the strip so we could use the monorail. So, but you get dropped off at the monorail station, you're still a half mile from the booth. So yeah, just that. But anyway, Vegas is a fun place. That's where you live. Yep. And, you know, I get to visit a couple times a year, so it's all good.
Well, looking forward to seeing you next time you come out.
Yeah, we'll be there in April for NAB. I think's the next time I'm going to be there. Not sure. I'd love to come out for SEMA. I just never remember when that is.
I'll have to treat you to the Impossible Burger 2 that I told you about. So I think you'll definitely enjoy that.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I know the first one was okay, but... yeah, I hear that second one, something else.
Yeah, they debuted it at CES, which was kind of unusual. You know, you think technology, electronics, et cetera. And for a food company to be the first, actually, I think they won Best in Show or something of that sort. But we got a chance to try it, and it's definitely good. I mean, the first one I wasn't a fan of. It was dry. The second one was completely night and day. So I think you'll be impressed.
Yeah, I'll have to definitely check it out. Yeah, well, hey, you think about it, food is technology. Yeah, anything that doesn't exist now and exists later is technology. So, and you know, kind of the main topic I wanted to talk about a little bit, and I know you and I both do a lot of this very thing, is independent podcasting, as you were talking about with your Podwabbit network. And of course, I have the Mike Dell's World Studio, which basically I've got 3 or 4 shows that I do periodically, and you know, it's just it's my hobby as well. You know, I know we work in podcasting, but you know, we also do it as a hobby. And I know you had an episode just prior to Christmas this year, or Christmas time. You had an episode that was talking about, you know, there's no rules.
And yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of been my thing. I've used this, you know, kind of to guide me in my personal life, but also with podcasting, you know, there really aren't any rules, just guidelines. I mean, yeah, there are things you want to do, have good audio, you want to have good content, you know, that's understandable. But in terms of everything else from, you know, ads and, you know, what equipment you should use, what microphone, I've just learned that. And even the whole free versus paid. I mean, that's something obviously that I thought I could get away with, but you know, free only gets you so far. So, you know, if you want to, you know, they say pay to play, but the bottom line is just have fun. It's one thing I also learned too from other folks, is have fun too. You know, when you get on the microphone, you want to have fun. And so that's been what's guided me, you know, don't worry about the rules. And unless this is something that is putting money on your table in terms of you got to keep the lights on, that's different. But for the most of us who are hobbyists that just do this, whether it's part-time or, you know, when we have time, you know, don't stress out over the little things. Just have fun. We spend too much time, I think, asking questions than actually, you know, firing up the mic and recording.
Oh yeah. And you know, and you know, when we first started this whole podcasting thing back in 2004, 2005, I started in 2005, and you know, you'd get a bunch of podcasters together, and all they were talking about was the microphones, or, you know, all they were talking about was, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? You know, and it was a new thing, but almost nobody was talking about making money. Mm-hmm. And there's no rules that say you have to make money. There's no rules that say, you know, think of the guy that, you know, builds model airplanes in his basement. You know, you don't ask him, well, did you make any money doing that? You know, no, that's not what it is. So, you know, and I'm not saying that there isn't, you know, business podcasting. I mean, our boss, he makes his living pretty much podcasting and, you know, covering these shows and stuff. You know, that puts food on the table and keeps the lights on, as he always says, too. And, you know, that's a whole different level. But there's nothing wrong with being an independent podcaster. You don't need to join a network. You don't need to, you don't have to interview people. You know, it is possible to podcast without doing an interview. I mean, so many times you get on those forums and that's what you see, or not, you know, the Facebook pages and, right, and groups. You know, it's like, oh, how do I get a guests? And, you know, how do I get my guests to do this? And how do I record with Skype? And how do I do that? You know, it's almost like it's impossible to just turn on the mic and talk.
Sometimes you just have to learn and kind of fall. I mean, that's for, I mean, when I got started, it was a lot of trial and error. They were asking questions. But one thing that I really, you know, take pride in is researching, not just podcasting, but everything in my life. So I was kind of used to that. I mean, there's a thing called Google.
Right.
You know, so if you don't know something, or YouTube, there's always a tutorial or some way to learn things. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions. I think there are some great people in the community that are out there that are willing to help you. But sometimes you have to stop asking the questions, turn on the microphone, and fail, you know, make a mistake and get feedback. And that's how you learn and grow. It's just like with any job you do. Like when I started with Blueberry, you know, there are things that I'm going to make mistakes on. I have to ask questions. Sometimes you have to just jump in the pool, get your feet wet, and, you know, as long as you don't do anything, you know, critical, you know what you shouldn't touch and should touch and learn. So
yeah, we tend to throw people to the wolves, you know, when we do that. when we hire somebody to help us with support, a lot of times, you know, I say, okay, just watch the email fly by, read, ask questions, and if you feel confident, jump in, do it. You know, and it's the same thing with podcasting. I mean, you know, some people just get so paralyzed by all the little options and stuff, and they spend more time analyzing what they're going to do rather than doing it. And the single biggest thing, you know, as far as an indie is just, you know, flip the mic on, record something. If it's no good, erase it and flip it on and record something else, and you'll eventually get something you want to put out there, and then put it out.
Right. You know? I mean, I think if all of us listen to our first episode, you know, they always say that it's not going to sound great, you know, and then after time you get better, whether it's the sound, whether it's your content, you just get better practicing. You don't get better by asking more questions and worrying about, you know, should I have a mid roll or post roll? I mean, again, if that's something that, like you said, is a business related, if it's something that's going to actually provide income, a full-time job, et cetera. But even that, I mean, you have to kind of be, I think, in a certain kind of niche in order to, you know, think you're going to make, you know, when you hear the people that are making, you know, six figures, that's not how it usually happens in podcasting. No, it takes a rare few to, or select few to get to that point.
Right. And, you know, and you got to pay your dues too, you know. And I always tell beginners, they say your first episode's going to suck and your next episode's going to suck a little less. And as long as it keeps in that direction, you're doing all right.
And then you got the celebrity issue. I mean, you were talking about, true, you know, Mo Rocca, you know, when he puts his podcast out, there's going to be a lot of people listening because he already has a following. So people like me, if you're small, you may have just a few listens, but don't let that get you disappointed. Don't let it get you down. Just keep grinding it, keep doing it. And if you are doing it for a passion or for a hobby, then, you know, the numbers shouldn't really matter.
Yeah, the thing I always tell people when they say, well, I only have X number of listeners, I say, well, imagine that many people in a room and you have to entertain them for an hour. Does that seem like a small number?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got 50, 60, 40, 20, you know, even 20 people, think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got to entertain 20 people for an hour in person, that's going to seem like a big number.
Yeah.
So, you know, just enjoy the ride, you know, and that's what I always say. And, you know, of course I always say a lot of things. I should quit using that term, shouldn't I?
No, it makes sense. I mean, I like to say, just have fun. I mean, that's, if you're not having fun doing it, then, you know, the other thing too that I found out too is make sure you have a time. Make sure, you know, your health is okay. You know, make sure you're spending time with family. You know, again, it's a hobby and you don't want it to take away from other things in life. So make sure you have that balance if you are doing this as a true hobby.
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly right with anything. You know, it's, I've made my mind up when I started podcasting that, you know, everybody says, oh, you got to stick on a schedule. And yes, that is a good you know, bit of advice. Stay on a schedule. People will build you in their life. All that stuff. We say that all the time. But I know me. I can't stay on a schedule. Mm-hmm. So I don't. I tell people, there's no schedule here. When I get done with one, I'll put it out. And that's how it works. And, you know, sometimes it works well, sometimes it doesn't. You look at Dan Carlin from Hardcore History. He breaks all the rules, and he's very popular. I mean, every rule there, you know, people say, well, your episode should be 22.7 minutes long, and, you know, it should be put out on Mondays and Thursdays, you know. Okay, no, this guy, he researches, and produces, and he'll put out a six-hour episode every 3 months or something. Mm-hmm. You know, but no rules. You know, there's best practices. That's a different thing. You know, technically, right. You want to do X, Y, and Z. You know, like we always push here. You know, you want to own your own feed. You want to do it with a .com or .whatever on your own website, if at all possible. And, you know, that's just for future-proofing, because you might start out as a hobby. And then if you're on some service that doesn't, allow you to move, or, you know, somehow else hinders you from owning your own content, then you're going to run into trouble later if it does turn into something. So, you know, best practices are good. You know?
And not to sound like I'm trying to do any plug, but you should pay for a service. I mean, I learned that the hard way. When I first got into this, I was using FeedBurner. I'm going to prove everybody wrong and do everything free. Well, that didn't last very long. You know, I want to be able to go to bed at night to know that, you know, anybody that listens, it's going to be there. It's going to be fast. It's going to, you know, work. And sometimes, and that's the thing, you know, where you spend your money, I think, is important too. You know, do you need to spend $500 on a microphone? Do you need to spend, you know, this kind of money on plugins? I mean, again, if that is what you need to do, if you are a sound engineer and that's where you're making your money, again, but for the most of us who are just independent podcasters, you know, be careful about how much you open up your checkbook before you start recording.
Right. You know, somebody posted on one of the forums, and it was obviously a tongue-in-cheek post, but something happened where he got kicked off of Apple. I think it might have been like a keyword stuffing thing. And, you know, he was going to get back on Apple, no big deal, but, you know, after he fixed it, but he put in there, what microphone should I get to make it faster for me to get back on Apple? Really? And those of us in the know are like just laughing. And I'm sure there was a lot of people who were taking that seriously. So fun stuff. But that one just, I mean, I still laugh at that every time I think of it. Cause like, you know, it's just so wrong on so many levels. So anyway, let's get on to support topics. I know this is also PowerPress podcast, so we are going to talk about PowerPress, but before we do that, media file names. So, John, do you have any sort of rules you use for yourself on media file names?
Try and keep things short. I avoid, I think it's underscores, the only thing I really mess with in terms of characters, but I try and keep mine really short and not long and drawn out.
Right. Yeah. So many times we'll get, and it causes trouble with our stat system, and not just ours, but all of them. But somebody will, you know, they'll write, you know, a 400 character long title .mp3, you know, and well, first off, the MP3 file name or the media file name, you can use M4A, MP4, whatever, you know, not WAV, but you know, but whatever you do, that file name is only seen by the most geeky of your listeners. Nobody else is going to ever see that. It's going to come up in the app with the title of the post, not the title of the file. So I have a little naming convention that I do for my personal podcast. I have a three-digit character, you know, three-digit code for each show. So my podcast help desk show is PhD, and then a three-digit number .mp3. You know, when I get to episode 1,000, I guess I'll make it a four-digit number. But that's all it is. And it makes the files unique, which is pretty much a requirement. Otherwise, you'll mess up your feed. And it makes them short, easy to figure out which one is which. And it keeps our stat system happy. Because our stats trigger on file names. And what happens if you have spaces in there, a lot of these apps will treat spaces differently. Like, let's see, for instance, say some particular Android app, when it downloads the file, it takes the space and turns it into a percent sign 20 or something, you know, some ASCII character. And then another one will add an underscore, and another one will just leave the space there. So now you've got three entries in our stat system for the same file, because whatever they report back is what we record. So it's a whole lot better if you just, you know, avoid special characters, avoid spaces, and just use underscores or dashes if you have to have some sort of a break in the file name. Now, for this podcast, it's normally YP underscore EP, and then the episode number underscore and the date, .mp3. It's a little more complicated than I would do, but that was something that we had decided on when we started these company podcasts. So, does that sound reasonable, John?
Yeah, and one thing, as you're talking, I mean, question for you, how often do you go back to look for an MP3 file? Because I was thinking about that. You know, I've only been doing this for 3 or 4 years, and I try and have these naming conventions, but really, do I need to go back and look for anything? So I guess the point is, you know, keep it really simple. No need to put a bunch of thought into it, because as you said, you want to make sure that it works for your stats. So how often do we go back and look for an old file based on name? I haven't really done that recently.
Right. Yeah, I do sometimes. Unfortunately, you talk about listening to your first episode. I wish I had my first episode. And they say that you put something out on the internet and it's there forever. No, my first 30 episodes are not there, period. And anybody out there,
download it.
Yeah, if anybody finds
it. If you downloaded Mike's file, send it to him.
Yeah, if you downloaded the first 1 through 30 of the Benzoid Report, that was what the name of the show was, the Benzoid Report, and that didn't have anything to do with the drug. I was in a county called Benzie County, Michigan, and we called ourselves Benzoid out there. But anyway, if you have 1 through 30, please email it to me. I need to hear how bad that was. So that podcast is up to 400 episodes or something, and it's now called Mike Dell's World. But anyway, not here to promote myself. So since this is PowerPress Podcast, let's do some PowerPress. I told you last time that I was going to go through these tabs, and we're going through the tabs in the order of importance. So we started with the Feeds tab last time, and this time we're going to do the Apple tab. So open up your PowerPress sites and look at the Apple tab, and I'll go through and tell you what each thing does. And John, if you have something to add, just jump right in.
Sure.
But iTunes program subtitle, that is a kind of a one-liner elevator pitch for your podcast, and that will show up in certain iterations of Apple products, most notably the Apple iTunes desktop software. So that's kind of the description that will show up there. And then in the Feeds tab, as we talked about last week, there's a feed description. You can have that feed description in this Apple program, iTunes program subtitle is what it's called here. Apple's trying to get rid of the word iTunes, but they haven't yet. But program subtitle, that can just be the exact same thing, because that will not show up in the same place at the same time as that feed description. And then the program summary is just kind of a little longer version of that. It can be up to 4,000 characters. It can be the exact same thing, because that one won't show up the same place as the subtitle will either. So you're pretty safe in having the same thing in all three places, but you know, you might want to do a little longer one in the program summary. And this is not just for Apple stuff, because a lot of the other apps use Apple tags. So, because that's kind of part of the open standard. So, you know, Overcast will probably use the subtitle, and maybe Downcast on Android will use the summary or the feed description. So that's why there's multiple places to put the same thing in the, you know, in all the settings in the feed. Wrap summary values with CData tags. I normally leave that unchecked.
Real quick, one thing that I think is important in that summary that we see a lot of issues with our tickets. Make sure you don't copy and paste things from other documents like text and such, you know, here, because you might include some HTML syntax that can actually, you know, throw some errors. So be careful, you know, what you put in here.
Right. Yeah. Just it's always best to hand type stuff into these settings rather than cut and pasting. Or if you're going to cut and paste, use, you know, like on the Mac, I think it's Text Edit and then Notepad or WordPad on the PC, and make sure it's not in, you know, any other format other than plain text if you're going to cut and paste. And let's see, wrap summary values with CData tags. Like I said, I normally leave that unchecked. There may be some instances where you want CData tags, but I have not run into too many of those. Support will tell you whether or not you want to turn that on if you have any questions. iTunes episode summary. Optimize iTunes summary from blog posts. That used to be really handy, but now it's kind of automatic. So I leave that off. It probably doesn't matter a hill of beans whether you turn it on or off, to be honest with you. iTunes program keywords. If your WordPress install is old enough, you'll have that. Apple doesn't use keywords anymore, so it's sort of pointless putting those in there, but you can if you want. It won't hurt anything. And here's the important ones. iTunes category, and it's not just for Apple. This category is used for several other directories. So, and only the first one, there's three of them there, or there can be three of them. I think there's an option to turn on the two more. Right now I've got all three of them here. But that first category is the only important one, because that's the only category you're going to be in at Apple. The other two are just suggestions to the Apple team. So if they want to, where they feature your show on, you know, their platform somehow, you give them a couple suggestions for other categories that your show might fit in, and they may feature you there. Notice I said may. Nothing is guaranteed with Apple.
Good luck.
All right. Explicit tag. You must pick clean or explicit. It will come up when you first get into PowerPress settings. It'll say no options selected. If it says that, change it to something. It doesn't matter, but just change it to something.
So. And then one thing on that one that I hear a lot of people talk about, if you're concerned about this, because if I'm not mistaken, if you mark your podcast is explicit, there are certain countries that won't play that. But what some people have done is when you first create your podcast, you can say clean, but then let's say you have an episode where a couple things slip. For that individual episode, you can mark it as explicit, but your entire podcast could be marked as clean. So,
well, that's true, sort of.
Okay.
Certain countries, and I believe India and China come to mind, if one episode is explicit, the whole feed's explicit.
Gotcha.
They will just kick you down. But like I said, it could work in certain ones. A lot of times, if you're not dropping major F-bombs and you know every other word a curse word, if you let you know one or two slip now and again, which you know I don't think has happened on this podcast yet, but it could. But you know, if something slips, I don't think that's any reason to make it explicit. You know. And chances are, if somebody complains about it, that's the only time Apple will even look at it. So I think you're okay.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is it based on listeners saying anything versus Apple scanning or some type of algorithm?
Yeah, I don't think Apple has the time to listen to all this stuff. You know, they really don't. They have algorithms for everything. I have to tell you a story. Well, no, I think I told that story last week or last time. So about the guy that popped into the top 200 and disappeared. But anyway, for keyword stuffing. Speaking of keyword stuffing, the next thing is the iTunes author name. That is just what it says, a name. That cannot be a name - the best podcaster in the world. Or, you know, can't have Zig Ziglar's name in there. The guy died 3 years ago or 5 years ago. Okay? Or like somebody. You know, I've seen somebody put in there... you know, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, just like Tony Robbins. Well, no, it's not Tony Robbins. I'm sorry. But so basically what you want in there is a name. It's simple as that, a name. Hence the tag's called author name. All right. I'm being snarky. let's see, the iTunes email. That is an email that you check. It does not have to be your iTunes ID, Apple ID. That just has to be an email address that you actually check. And don't send me spam at yahoo.com or something like that. Make it your main email. Apple's not going to spam you unless it's important. Seriously, they're not. Now, other podcast companies might, but Apple's not. And iTunes type. Most of the time it says no options selected. That is the best way. There is a selection between serial and episodic. Episodic is default. And unless you have a particular reason to make it serial, in other words, you really must know what that means to want to do that. Don't mess with it. Simple as that. And then there's a couple of really dangerous settings down at the bottom of that tab. The iTunes new feed URL. And when you click that, it's going to give you a dire warning. The reason that's a dire warning is whatever you put in there is where Apple's going to start looking for your podcast. And if you put something in there that is not right, Apple's going to be looking in the wrong place and there's no way to get it back. So don't mess with that. Unless you know what you're doing. So if you change your podcast feed, say you move from xyz.com to abc.com, and you changed your feed, you go on the old site and you do the new feed URL. And you also do it on the new site, and that's a whole other ball of worms. We'll talk about it sometime. But and then the last bit's in the advanced options. And notice there's a warning there that says settings below have permanent consequences. And it does. So there's an iTunes block and there's an iTunes complete checkbox. iTunes complete will keep you in the Apple store, but Apple will no longer check your feed and you can post all the episodes you want and they will never update your listing. The other one is iTunes block. As soon as iTunes or Apple sees that iTunes block tag, you disappear from the store, never to return again. They will not take your feed from that or from that URL after that period. So don't mess with those. I had a guy do that. He clicked all those check boxes and then, well, I can't get my podcast on Apple. Well, okay. So anyway, that's the Apple tab. And, like I said, you know, a little snarky here, but a lot of the stuff is important. You know, like I said, we said no rules. There's not rules, but there are things that, you know, if you want to be on Apple, there are some rules. So, and that's a whole nother topic. John, you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that's right. I mean, a lot of these things are things we see in some tickets, and that big one there, the author names, several we get in those. And, you know, like Mike said, just keep it real simple. I think that's really the rule of thumb you have, you know, follow the required ones, but keep things simple and try not to overdo it.
Right. And the last little thing I always like to stress is relax. Do not get in a hurry. The people make the biggest mistakes when they're in a hurry. You know, you see, and it's a lot of new podcasters. They, well, I've got to launch on Tuesday. Well, great. But are you not, or if you're not ready to launch on Tuesday, then launch on Wednesday. Or if you put out your episodes on Wednesday and all of a sudden something went wrong and you can't do it till Friday, I guarantee you the world's not coming to an end. You know, that kind of thing. And then the other thing I notice, and you and I get this all the time in support tickets, is I published my episode at 6 o'clock this morning and it's not in Apple yet, or iTunes. They always say iTunes, but it's not in Apple yet. Well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. So you've had it out there exactly 3 hours. Apple pulls your feed. You don't push it to Apple. there's nothing wrong. If 24 hours later, if it's still not in there, then there might be something wrong. The best thing you can do is look at your RSS feed. And the second best thing is to know your RSS feed. So make sure you know what that is. And then you go to a place like castfeedvalidator.com, or you go to, Podbase, and, check, see if there's something, something wrong with it. But if you go to CastFeed, it'll show you what episodes are in the feed. And if that last one you just published is there, then relax. It'll be everywhere else, too. So, anyway, John, anything to add to that?
No, I second that. It's again, if this is just a hobby thing, it'll eventually get there. And Apple's been pretty good lately, even when you're submitting new podcasts. The turnaround time, except for holidays, which they tell you, that's not a good time to do it. They've been pretty good about getting a turnaround. So as long as you follow the tips that have been provided, you got a pretty good chance of things showing up there. So it'll get there.
Right. And even if you go over to Apple and for some reason it doesn't validate, just get a hold of us. We can usually sort that out, or at least point you in the right direction. And, you don't need Apple's permission to podcast. It's just, it helps you get out there more. But as I always tell people, and I always tell, as I say, in my webinars that I do, when somebody publishes their first podcast episode on their WordPress site, they hit publish. And then I say, you are podcasting. Nobody knows about it yet, but you are podcasting. Anyway, so that'll do it, I think, for this episode. John, how can we get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter and Facebook. It's at The Crazy Wabbit. That's crazy with a K. And again, the website is podwabbit, podwabbit.com. And thanks for letting me jump on, and great team to work with. And enjoy the time. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. And you can also get John on his official capacity, john@blueberry.com. And, of course, you can get me at mike@blueberry.com. And then, of course, Todd, when he comes back, todd@blueberry.com. See the pattern here? We are going to throw on the end here at Sean's PowerPress Tip of the Week. This is a longer episode than we usually do for your podcast, but it's just about right for the PowerPress podcast. And if you've listened to one of the feeds, you can delete the file on the other one because it's the same one. So everybody have a great couple of weeks. See you later, John. Thanks for being on.
Take care.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry support team with this week's PowerPress tip. PowerPress itself has no caching functionality built in, but there's a good chance that your website does use some type of caching, in which case caching can have an impact on the podcast feeds you create with PowerPress. What caching does is it creates a kind of temporary copy of your website on your server that makes your website load faster. This is definitely a good thing. But caching can be complex, and you should be aware of it when you encounter issues with your podcast feed. There are way too many caching plugins and services to cover here, but some common ones you may have seen are W3 Total Cache, WP Super Cache, and WP Rocket. Regardless of the caching system you're using, there's a couple things to check in your caching settings to make sure your cache is working well with PowerPress. The best thing to do is to tell your caching system to simply clear your entire site cache every time you publish a new post. If that's not an option for you, see if you can set your cache to exclude URLs that end in /feed. Having these settings in place should ensure that every time you publish a new podcast episode, your PowerPress podcast feed will update itself right away so that your latest episode will reach your audience as quickly as possible. If you ever notice your podcast isn't updating within a reasonable amount of time after releasing a new episode, clear any caches on your site first before pursuing other troubleshooting measures. It could simply be that your cache is holding on to an older version of your podcast feed and not letting the feed update properly. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email me, Sean, at blueberry.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.